Yes. Yes. I'm going to preach this out of my spirit this morning, if that's all right. The Lord been dealing with me about this, and a happy Caldwell heard me talk about this. He said, you ought to preach this everywhere you go. It's a very simple. I'm going to do a little teaching, if that's okay. Really, I'm a preacher, but I can teach. You know, if you're in the executive branch of God's government, you ought to be able to flow in all five.
That's right.
You know, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Especially if you're called, because out of 7 billion people, you ministers, God called you. Now, what's the odds of that happening? That's a bigger odds than winning the lottery. 7 billion people, God chose you. Preaches gospel to minister. So if it's okay, I'm going to just kind of preach out of my spirit. And sometime I do that. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to go some very familiar scripture. We'll start with verse 6. And y'all can put that verse 6 up there. And as I say next verse, you can do that. Now, the title of this sermon or this teaching is All. I got it from my granddaughter. And I'll finish it out with a story that happened not too long ago. And her name is Meredith Margot Walker. We call her M&M. I only have one heir, and that's my daughter, Jody, and my granddaughter, Meredith. And it's amazing how Meredith controls us completely. Because it's great being a grandfather. Because nobody ever called me grand till she was born. And her child gonna make me great. So I got a great future. And it's just such a blessing. I mean, total control. Jody, my daughter, will be 45, I think, in October. And I've never told her no once. That's a fact. Meredith is 8 years old and I've never told her no because I'm not good at telling them no. Now, Kathy is very good at that. Especially when Jody was a teenager. She'd say, Daddy, Mama said no. I said, I'd give it to you, Jody, but your mama don't want you to have it. And I know I was wrong, but I didn't care. I mean, you know, I have a very hard time. And I'm going to say something you ain't going to believe, but it's still the truth. I've been preaching 40 years and I've been full-time ministry 38 years and God has never told me no. Not one time. Now, but I've learned that when I ask him for something, that it's his will. Before I go up there and make a fool of myself. Because you can make a fool of yourself in front of God, but he's loving, and he just kind of smiled. I've made God laugh quite a lot, and some of y'all made him sad quite a lot. So I had to kind of cheer him up a little bit. You think I'm kidding you? See, people don't understand that at all because you see, they got relationship, they don't have fellowship. See, all they ever think about God is praying. I like conversations. I like sitting down in my study and say, hey God, let's talk a little bit. Come, let us reason together. It's just wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, but this I say, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, what part of that you don't understand? What part of that you didn't get? Because there's no faith in that verse at all. Zero. Come on. That verse only has action and reaction. That's it. There's no faith in it. It's just a simple statement. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. No faith at all. Action, reaction. Next verse. It says, every man or every person according as they purpose in their heart. Purpose in their heart, not in the head. So you don't need a heart bypass, you need a head bypass. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Now watch this, I'm going to knock you in the head with this. No necessity. Why do you ask God for a need? Because that verse said you shouldn't. Why are we so need-orientated? When God said he'll supply how much need? How much need? Every man according as he purposed and he saw. What is purpose? Purpose is foundation. Purpose affords you anchorage in the times of battle. If you're a person of purpose, you've got foundation of your feet, under your feet. When you become a person of purpose, something else is created in your purpose, which is prayer. So you could read that verse, every man according as his purpose and prayed. But when you purpose and prayer together, something else begins to develop called perception. So you could read that verse this way, every man according as his purpose prayed and perceived. Perception, knowing what to do, when to do, where to do it, and how to do it.
Or like Ray Charles used to say, we make it do what it do. So you can read that verse this way, every man according as he purposed, prayed, and perceived. But when you put purpose, prayer, and perception together, then something else is created. Power. Now, people love power, but it's the danger, most dangerous one out of all of them. Because you see, you must be superior to power instead of driven by power. That's why politicians mess up. That's why preachers mess up. Power. Now, let me show you how much power Jesus had. You know, everybody was always trying to kill Jesus. Everybody was trying to put a hit on him all the time. He'd get close to a mountain, they try to push him off a cliff. Finally, Jesus had enough one day. Sometime enough is enough. And Jesus turned around and said, let me tell you something, boys. Now, I'm going to paraphrase it. I can call more than 12 legions of angels to handle this situation. Now, let me give you an idea how much power that is. One angel in the Bible, one, knocked down 185,000 men. One. If 12 legions of angels would have come, 20 billion, 400 million men would have bit the dust in a lick. But the world has not known that kind of population. But because Jesus was superior to that power, instead of driven by that power, he went to the cross so you don't have to go. So you could read that verse, every man according as he purposed, prayed, perceived, and empowered, so let him give. Now notice his next statement, not grudgingly. Have you ever give grudgingly? Have you ever give sometime and you went home and said, I shouldn't have done that? Be honest, hold your hand up. I'm putting both my hands up. Because an emotional financial pull was placed on you. And all of a sudden you said, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Now you know why you didn't, you know why you did that? You didn't purpose in your heart. See, when you purpose in your heart, that's done before you get to church. That's not done while you're at church. Because when you go into church, you want to be a blessing. Because giving is not an act of the wallet. It's an act of the heart. It's an act of worship. That's why the three wise men said, let's go worship him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when an offering is taken or received, it's an act of worship to God. Because he don't need nothing you got. Is you worship him with something that you desperately need in an economic world. And never be afraid of money. Just don't fall in love with it because it is a Judas. It will leave you flat. It'll let you starve. Because, see, it's not security at all. It's just paper. You see what I'm saying? So you can see every man according as he purposed, prayed, perceived, empowered. So let him give, not gradually, nor on necessity. Kathy, some of you have heard me say this many times. She said, Jesse, you never ask God for a need. I said, I never will. I don't deal with needs at all. Nothing. I tell God what I want. Because when you get what you want, you destroy all your need. You don't even think about your need when you got what you want. Now, a lot of people say, that's greed. No, that's growth. The law is my shepherd, I shall not what? Didn't say need. You know, children never tell you what they need. They tell you what they want. Right? They don't tell you what they need. You had your four-year-old come up and say, I need this. No, they say, I want this. And ladies, if come Christmas, if you tell your husband what you need, you're going to get a vacuum cleaner. Or a washing machine. That ain't for you, that's for the house. Right?
That's right.
You tell him what you want. People say that's greed. No, that's growth. So I tell God, well, I don't even deal with needs at all. Why? Because he said he'd supply how many? So why should I have a need? Don't shout me down in a preaching group. Brother Hagin used to say that all the time. I stole it since he's dead. Now I just keep it. So I don't even deal with need. It never crosses my mind. It never crosses my lips. But I tell him what I want. People say, that's greed. No, that's growth. That's why I've never had a grudging gift. Because I purposed before I got there. You see, when you purpose before you get to church, and a pastor or a minister gets up and shares something that the ministry wants to do, you go, oh, that's why that was so strong on me. Because you're not giving to the need. You're giving to the purpose of what the need will do once it's met. Do you see what I'm saying? Now you can understand. So you can get up and say, you know, we're believing God for such and such, whatever. And that's fine. People say, well, that's a need. No, no, no. That's the purpose of it. See, you gotta quit looking at the stuff. It's what the stuff does that enhances the kingdom of God in your life. And Jesus said at 12 years old, I'm about my father's business. He didn't say I'm about my father's ministry. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. I'm going over here. I'm going to talk over there. He's about the father's about his business. Why? He's Jewish. They run in the temple. Listen, yeah, he astounded them with his knowledge of scripture. But what he astounded them more was how to run that temple. You want to talk business? And then he came back at 30 years old and kicked everybody out because they were all doing wrong things. Not operating and functioning in the business that God wanted them to do concerning that temple. It's called the money changers. Every man according as he purpose, prayed, perceived, and empowered, so let him give, not grudging nor of necessity. Because need's not a part of this at all. I've had many opportunities to fail in life. I just don't take any. And I'm very cautious. See, when the scriptures don't say much about something, you should be very cautious about saying anything. Because you come out with a homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thought. It may sound intellectual, but it won't hold no water. You see what I'm saying? People don't believe. I had a man jump my case not long ago. He said, I don't believe in healing. I said, you ain't got sick enough yet. I said, when that doctor stick his finger in your face and say, you got pancreatic cancer and you got 2 months to live. I said, somebody like me becomes very, very important to you. See, a lot of people, I hate to say this, they have to experience something to believe it. When you should believe it before you experience it. I mean, that's just simply the truth. So every man according as his purpose, prayer, conceived, and power, so let him give not grudgingly, nor necessity. That tells you that. For God loveth. He say, like he say, love a cheerful giver. Why? Because it's an act of the heart, not the act of the wallet. Because the greatest offering Jesus ever talked about was the widow's mite, and it sure wasn't much. And people said, because she gave all she had. No, it wasn't because of that. She gave all of her heart. You see, to be a blessing. You see what I'm saying? Next verse. Now, I call this the black verse, and God is able. Ain't nothing white in that verse at all. You see, because if a white preacher would preach this, he would say, listen, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficient set, and all work may abound to ever good work. Can I get a witness? So that's a white Baptist preach. But a black Baptist saying, God is able. I said, oh! I said, the lie! Lord is able. I said, the Lord is able. And, wow, people go crazy. Because the Lord is able. See, look at the white people. They're going. Yeah. Damn. And God is able. And God is able. Look at it on it. To make how much grace abound? How much grace? How much grace? Now, let me clarify that. Grace works on an act of sin, but it's limited on a state of sin. Oh, I caught your attention there. Yeah, we're saved by grace. Thank God for the grace of God. None of us could be there. It works on an act of sin all the time. But when you live in a state of sin, it has limitations. Because there's two sins in the Bible you better never do. One is the unpardonable sin. Blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. And the second one is sending your day of grace away. Oh, y'all thinking now. So God gave us grace not so we can sin better. See, and if you believing in grace and you living in a state of sin, you on a timetable. Be careful with that. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. And if you don't believe that and you want to be wrong, go ahead. There's a vast difference between an act of sin and a state of sin. We've all done acts of sin, but if you're born again, you're not living in a state of sin. Amen. That's why grace is applied. And God is able to make how much grace? Oh. Abound toward who? You. That you always, notice all and always, that you always having all what? Sufficiency. In all what? And all what? And all what? So that's spiritual, physical, and financial. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Why does the church world freak out over things? When that verse right there says all sufficiency and all things. Why are you mad at me? Because I've had that 3 jets. About ready to get a 4th one. People say, I don't think you ought to have that jet. I said, I don't think I asked you. Now, I don't mean that to sound rude. I mean, wait a minute. See, it's all sufficiency. That's right. in all things. Now, see, the scripture, the church world will say, well, if it be his will. No! Didn't say that. They did. When are we going to believe what Jesus said? Instead of the experience that we encountered about what he said. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, oh, praise the Lord, having all sufficiency in all things. Watch this. In 40 years of preaching, 38 years of full-time ministry, Jerry, I've never had a financial deficit. Now, why is that? Because I got more faith than you? No. I don't think I have any more faith than you, but I might have a little more obedience. You see, I told you yesterday, the Lord told me to give all my money away twice. The first was easy. That was a chunk of change. But I was making money out of my ears, man. A rock musician, girls screaming and howling, and young people, that's your mama doing that. Maybe your grandma. I don't know. Glory to God. Every time I'm being introduced anymore, I just kind of, it's a little irritating. They say, you know, I used to be in the nursery when he first came. I say, shut up, man. Just give me the pulpit, will you? And, you know, money was such a disappointing thing to me because Ray is very poor. I thought if I could just get enough money, man, I'd be happy. And I got to a point I could buy anything I wanted. Wow! And I was so disappointed because it didn't give me any happiness. Money don't make you happy. It just make you comfortable while you're miserable. That's the truth. Because if money is so wonderful, how come Robin Williams killed himself? Freddie Prince. Prince. I'm not saying he committed suicide. I'm just saying, my God, why do you need drugs to be happy? It's a Judas. But it's, see, it's something that must be used in this life. And like I said yesterday, faith always insists on possessing possessions. Faith will not allow the wealth of the wicked to keep your money. It will demand from you to get what God created for you. Well, so how do you know he created for us? Because when he created the world, there were no sinners. It was all for us. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. So don't get mad at me. May abound to every good work. I got to deal with that right there. May abound to every, how many works? Now, you know, there's a rumor going around all over the United States that if you get Jesse the Planet to come to town, or Creflo A. Dollar Jr., or Bill Winston, or Kenneth Copeland, or Keith Moore, or Jerry Savelle, you got to watch them guys. They'll take all the money out the community. I've had that said to me so many times, it's unreal. Well, I'll tell you what, them guys, man, I'll tell you what, they can pull them off. And so, and they'll take all the money out. Well, if that's the truth, either you lying or God lying, I pick you. Because that verse says, put it up there again, guys, abound to every good work. Which means this. We're not going to hurt your church. We're not going to hurt your town or your city. We can't help it if the anointing of increase is on us. And you know why it's on us? Because God trusts us. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, may abound to every good work. I had a guy tell me, he said, I'm struggling. I said, I can tell you don't listen to anything I ever say. My brand new book just came out. It just got here, called Living Off the Top. I know somebody how to live on the top. See, getting on the top is not that hard. It's staying on the top that's hard. And I've generated hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. I know what I'm talking about. It's a brand new book. If you want to get it, you can get it. I'm telling you, I'm a good businessman. Why? The Lord made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Now, do you understand that? I'm not trying to plug it. I'm just saying so many people ask me about it. So it's called, getting on the top is just hard work. But where the tough part is staying on top. Because in all the economic cycles that keep going on, it should not affect you. In 2008, when the Wall Street crashed, good Lord, did it crash? People said, how's the recession affecting you, Brother Jesse? I said, we're not participating. See, I don't care what they say. Because my giving will supersede everything that their stupidity does. Do you understand that? Because, see, God has to do what his word says. He can't help himself. He won't say no. He will say yes. Because his word's already said it. So don't separate him from his word. So God is able to make all grace abound toward you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Next verse. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. And his righteousness remained how long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
Sometimes you don't feel righteous. That don't change nothing. Sometimes you don't feel married, but you are. You can't go by your feeling. Because most of y'all have slept in today. Am I telling the truth? Because we had a long one yesterday, didn't we? Lord Jesus, we were talking about freedom. We said, when are we going to get out of here so we can be free? It's a long one. And I just got enough guts to say it. How many know what I... Raise your hand if you thought about that. Yes, you need to be saturated with the word. But Lord Jesus, you were dripping off. But I was full. I don't need no more. I just want to go to the hotel. How many times are we going to see him? Mine eyes have seen the glory. I saw it. Well, there come another Lord. Oh, yeah. Come on, Jesus. At least we'll get out of this convention. Glory to God. Don't shout me down. But it's good that you get saturated. And I know most of y'all come to the end of this convention, you're going to need a healing on your rear end. Oh, glory to God. And I love Brother Corbin having some nice chairs and stuff. That's better than them pews that used to pinch you when you sat down. Remember some with the cracks in? Whoa, gee, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. That's pain. How many of y'all sat on them cracked benches and pews? My Lord Jesus. It is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Notice the next verse. Now he was ministered seed to the sower. Didn't say the keeper, said the sower. How many of you know if a person is truly a sower? You're not determined the sower by just giving one time or even five times. Sowing is a lifestyle. You know, when I go to a restaurant, Kathy freaks out, I always think more about the tip than I do the food. Amen. I usually give more tip than the price of the food. Why? Because everybody got to make a living. You know where I learned that from? What made me start doing that, I've been doing it a few years. Phyllis Moore. We were talking one time at their home, and she said, you know, a lot of people work hard, and they get stiffed all the time, you know. She said, you're able to be a blessing to those people. Remember you saying that, Phyllis? You're able to be a blessing, you know, and they work for it. Don't misunderstand. But then you gave them something extra. That just really blesses them. And it's amazing how money will make the Holy Ghost come up on you. I was in the Cheesecake Factory in New Orleans, bless God. Now, this young lady come up to me and she said, what would y'all like to have? I said, sweetheart, I want you to listen to me. Whatever my wife says, just do it. Because see, Kathy like to change things. Just order on the menu. Well, I want this, but I don't want this on this, and I don't want this. And wait a minute, I changed my mind and erased that out. And I want... And the worst part's a Chinese restaurant. You're going to blow a Chinese person's brain when you say, can I have a little more broccoli? Oh, no. They go, and they say, just charge me. 50 cents? Okay, I got 50 cents. I mean, you don't change it. Oh, Lord Jesus. So Kathy, you know, she likes to change this and change, which is fine, because we're paying for it. That's what she wants. That's what she gets. I said, just do whatever the woman says. Take care of me, and I'm going to take care of you. She said, okay. So Kathy ordered something. I want in Factory House chop salad. A good salad. You ought to eat that if you ever get a chance. Well, back a long story short. She brought me the bill. The bill was $32.12. Now, why said God is able? But see, well, that girl didn't know. I was already thinking about what I was going to do for her. I even do it for the bedwetters. Because it's amazing what a dollar bill can turn people around to God. Now, I prefer good service. Don't misunderstand me. That's not the issue. So she gives me, and I don't carry a wallet. I carry one of these things. You know. Yeah, you know, Jerry Seville taught me to just go Louis Vuitton. I got Louis Vuitton underwear. I got all kinds of stuff. And Jerry showed me how to do all that stuff. So he Louis Vuitton. When they walk in, they go, Louis here. That Jerry boy. I mean, Jerry got some Louis Vuitton stuff. Lord Jesus. I just like to shop with him. I go, I'm with him. That's just a blessing. Got good stuff. So I go in there. So I take out $32. I say, Kathy, you got 12 cents. I don't care a change. You got 12 cents? Yeah. So she sees me put the $32.12 in that closer thing. And I'm pretty sure she's thinking that devil said, good God, that guy took care of it. He's going to stiff me. But she don't understand who she's talking to. She's talking to El Shaddai, who came from El Shaddai. So I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, come on. She goes, yes, sir. She was nice. You could see, you know, because women, you can tell by their face, you know, did you? And that'll shut down a whole night, just an eyebrow. That's it. It's over. I just go to bed, bless God, hallelujah, it's over. I mean, well, a man got to get kind of little, he got to get, you're like a lion, you know, but like a woman. Just like, yeah. And I said, I want to thank you for taking care of me. And there's $32.12, and here's $100. She goes. She said, are you serious? I said, here's $100. She goes, Jesus. I said, it's amazing what $100 will do for people. Get people saved. Say in the name of Jesus. I ain't never heard nobody say, Muhammad. I ain't never heard nobody say that. I ain't never heard nobody say that. I ain't never heard nobody say that. I ain't never heard nobody say, Buddha, 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 who's Buddha? She goes, Jesus. I said, you like that? Yes. I said, here's another one. Oh, Jesus. Now everybody's noticing in the restaurant. I know what Kathy's thinking. That salad cost you $232.12. I give Kathy all the time. She's a blessing. She says, she starts crying. She said, you know, I'm a college student. I've been working. You know, I got to, you know, I'm paying much wage. I'm on my own doing the best I can. I said, well, here's another $100. Ah! She just went crazy. It was a great day. How could you do that? All sufficiency. In all things. Abound to every good work. That was a good work to help that young lady. Dispersed abroad, given to the poor, righteous and remaining forever. Now he was meant to seed to the sower. Now when I go to the Cheesecake Factory in New Orleans, you got to stand in line. Not me. They go, oh, Reverend. Boy, people get so mad. I mean, people standing in line, we just walk by and I go. I got to put the black lean on him, baby. What's up, baby? Hello, Lord. Hey. This is good. I learned that from Phyllis. That's a good thing, Phyllis. I really like that. It blessed me because I said, here's an opportunity to be a blessing to people. And it worked for, it may work for 20% of it. But boy, my God, when you pay them more than the bill, they don't know what to do. They don't forget because they live in an economic world. See, they understand the word all. But the church world doesn't. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteous remain forever. He which ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. And watch it. Here we go again. And multiply your seed sown. See, you see, God is thinking of this before you do this. Multiply before the seed sown. He's already got that on his mind because he's an all, always, all the time God. God is not looking at the economy. He don't care about the economy. And listen, on your best day, you can't impress God with your money.
Come on, that's right.
The Bible said supply all how many needs?
All.
According to his what? Riches and glory. Have you ever wondered how rich God is? Well, when you're doing business with a God, you ought to find out what's backing him. So I decided to do a study on the riches of God. You know, Psalms 115, verse 16 says, the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, to the earth, hath he given to the children of men. So the heavens, the universe, space, the final frontier. Live long, prosper. Yeah. Do you know that's a church saying that Leonard Nimoy took out of a Jewish synagogue? Watch this. Right now, at 10 minutes after 10, I guess, whatever the clock is, theoretical physicists, the smartest minds in America and the world, are trying to figure out how to capture asteroids. And people think the reason why they want to capture them because they're known as planet killers. Because if you get one about the size of Manhattan Island in New York, it could destroy this planet. because it's moving at 160,000 miles an hour. It's coming at you. But they don't want to capture asteroids because of that. They want to capture them because they're worth trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. They're full of iron, magnesium, gold, silver, copper, all the metals, all the different things that we need on this earth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's God's garbage. That's the garbage. That's stuff that did not coalesce together to make a planet. It turned out just to be a big rock. That's called the asteroid belt. You go a little further out, the Kuiper belt. The universe is, I mean, my God, when stars explode with nova, supernovas, and they're full of gold. It's just explode everywhere. The reason why we have something that protects us is because in the center of this planet is molten iron, which creates, my God, gravity creates all kinds of different things. And so when the sun rays hit us, it bounces off of us. It's amazing that the universe, how do you think God got gold streaks, diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby? And this is only, we only know much in our own solar system. We're so excited today. NASA's so smart. You know, and they did it by 1 second. We finally got a probe down there that's going around Jupiter. Isn't that something? In Jupiter, you could put 1,000 Earths inside of Jupiter. But that's small compared to that sun, because the sun covers 700% of the total solar system. And when you go look out today and you see the sun, you see that light hitting you, that's 8 minutes old. It took 8 minutes to leave the sun's surface to get to you, traveling 186,000 miles a second. So you're looking into the past when you see the sun today. It left. Oh, and if you want to know about that light photon, it was created in the middle of, well, I'm getting scientific here. It was created in the middle of the sun, in the nucleus, and it took 1 million years just to get to the surface of the sun. And then 8 minutes to get to your eye. And that's a small star. And the sun is 1 million times bigger than the planet Earth. Yet we got a star that we know of that is, watch this, 1 billion times bigger than our sun, which is 10 billion times bigger than our planet. And God flung it with his hands. And you worried about your utility bill? And you worried about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? And this fool corporation called ISIS? If you want to defeat your enemy, you got to think like your enemy. That's how we defeated Saddam Hussein. Colin Powell said it. I studied him, I'm going to kill him. Then he sent Storm and Norman, Norman Schwarzkopf over there. Yeah. And Norman, Storm and Norman would cry. He said, I don't trust a general that don't cry. But he cried while he killed you. And where did Saddam land up? In a hole. Yeah. Hmm. He's this. Now he was meant to see to the sower ministers bread for your food, multiplies your seed, some increases. Watch this, the fruits of your righteousness. So every day you are increasing. Now this is spiritual, physical, and financial in every. I expect to be a blessing everywhere I go. I expect, well, I'm going to shock you when I say that. Some of y'all going to write me an ugly letter. I expect to make money every day, and I do. It's coming to me. It's on me. Don't get mad at me. It ain't my fault. I bet people say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't understand. How can you can buy stuff? Man, one of my chandeliers costs more than most people's house. I got 22 chandeliers in the house. Wow. Mark's been there many times. Mark eat all my ice cream. All kinds of them. Mark got the best diet plan I've ever seen in my life. He eat a pound of ice cream. He run down to my house and go in. And I see him on the treadmill. I said, what you doing? He said, I'm knocking a few calories off. He said, open me up another pint. I'll be back up there in a minute. And Mark said, I like this diet. I like this diet. It's just such a blessing. Not bragging on that. Don't get mad at me. The Lord told me to build it. What do you want me to do? What I'm saying is, it's all. All. Increases the fruits of your righteousness. Notice the next words. Being enriched. Not just rich. Being enriched. Here we go again. In how many things? Look at the verse. How many things? If you notice, I hadn't given you my opinion yet. I'm doing this line upon line, precept upon precept. So you can't say I'm overbalanced. I'm just reading what the Word of God said. Being enriched to how much bountifulness? Jesus, man, how much all, how much God's got to do for you to understand what he wants to do, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. I don't charge churches when I go. Nothing wrong with that. I think if you invite a speaker, you ought to take care of your hotel, the food, and maybe an airplane ticket, or maybe some jet fuel if he has a fuel. I don't do that. Nothing wrong with it. I believe in it. Don't misunderstand me. But I asked my staff there, I said, how much money that the churches should have paid for in my ministry? Because most people, if you're a pastor, you pay for someone's hotel, right? You know, I mean, or you pay for, you know, whatever, something like that. Well, to make a long story short, I said, get me on all the jet fuel. I want to know. And they came up with an approximate figure, which they called low. They said, in these last 20 years, at least $50 million. But you know, I never paid a dime because he didn't ask me to pay for it. He asked me to believe for it. And I've owned 3 corporate jets. And I want to tell you something. When you get up them higher jets, a little bigger jet, then maintenance thing get very expensive. And the last one just nailed me to the wall. $850,000. I said, Jesus, you got mail. Bam. He did it. We had somebody send us $400,000 to our ministry, and my staff turned it down. Wow. They're not there no more. $400,000. And Kathy happened to read the thing. Kathy said, what food? Got a hold of the person and said, we apologize. We thought it was kind of odd. Kathy worked that thing out. She said, well, can I put it on my Visa? Well, sure. How many of you'd like to have a $400,000 Visa card? The only person I know about that is that guy that plays the piano, the red piano. What's his name? Rock musician in England. Elton John. Lord, man, he's known as one of the biggest Visa people because he just charged everything on his Visa. Well, I thought, my Lord. And I talked to the person, to make a long story. She said, I just want you to pray and believe with me. I said, I certainly will. Went to a church. Gave another $75,000. I said, God. He said, Jesse, ain't no shortage of money. It's just in the wrong hands. And my faith was insisting. Possessing. Not confessing. I believe in confession. You don't misunderstand me. Possessing. What you confess, you possess. Possessing. Possessions. It doesn't make any difference. I run my own financial affairs. I got a lot of people who want to run my business, but they don't understand God in my business. They just understand what they see. See, being rich in all bountifulness, it didn't say until you retire or as you get older, you got to cut back so you can live. You can't live as good as you did when you was working, so you can't go to the restaurants you used to go to when you was working. You got to kind of cut back. So now you need, and then nothing against these people. Now that you're retired, you need to go to the Golden Corral. And eat them little buffets before you go to the Cheesecake Factory. Man, you've worked 30, 40 years for a company, 30, 40 years for your family. You ought to not have to cut back because you retired. You ought to be living better at retirement than you did when you was working. If you understand that, you will. Being enriched in everything, Jerry. Everything. Everything. To all bountifulness. God, it was wonderful. Now, here's the story of Meredith. Meredith controls me and Kathy completely, and we love it. She calls me grandfather. She calls the other side grandpa. So people love it when she goes, grandfather. Grandfather. People turn around and go. I say, yeah, what you want? She'll call me up. She says, grandfather, I believe I'll have a sleepover. I said, come on, girl. And she comes, boy, and I tell you, me and Kathy just standing at the door like two, just so excited. And it was so long since we saw her, and it was the day before. You know, that kind of stuff. So she just comes in, my Lord Jesus. I mean, and the other day, Kathy went shopping. She bought 14 Barbie dolls at one time. She just putting it in a basket. And me and Kathy just enjoying ourselves. It was great. People say, you're spoiling her. Yeah. What's wrong with that? You don't spoil a child with love. You spoil a child by not disciplining them. You got to learn to understand that. And we told her, I said, now what you going to do with all them other Barbara dolls? I don't know, Grandpa. What do you think I should do? I said, maybe you ought to give it to some kids that don't have any. I never thought about that. I said, well, maybe you should think about it. She says, I believe I will. Teaching her to give. Well, she came over. My God, man. So everything goes on hold because Meredith is at the house. So we do everything. She sleeps and all that kind of stuff. Wakes up in the morning and Kathy's cooking her breakfast. And the other day, Kathy served the breakfast in bed. She said, send a picture of this to my mama. That's what she said. Send a picture of this to my mama. We just bless her. It's just, we just love. I mean, this is a blessing to God. I only have one daughter, one granddaughter. So it's just wonderful, you know. She told me the other day, it's about time we get on that plane and go back to Disney World. I said, well, you ain't swimming in no lagoons. That's all I'm going to say about that. Because if that had been me, I'd have a new alligator bag today. That alligator wouldn't have got away, son. I may be cut to pieces, but I don't care, son. I'd bite his fingernails off. His toenails off. I'd do what I got. Anyway, glory to God. So Kathy cooks a breakfast, and I walk out there and said, Meredith, what would you like to do today? She says, let me think about it. So we just stood there just like this, me and Kathy. Just waiting for an answer. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? Just standing there like two complete idiots waiting for an eight-year-old to tell us something. She says, well, I want to go to the mall. I said, okay. She said, let's go have... Now, Kathy loves coffee and beignets. You know what beignets are?
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all know. You know what I mean? It's fried bread, though. Looks like... They put that white sugar on it. And when you got to watch you breathe because it looks like you got cocaine on your face. You know, y'all know that cocaine. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I can see some of y'all. Mm-hmm. Cocaine to make you walk the water. I just like Jesus. I walk the water, cocaine. But anyway, I mean, you got to watch how you eat those things. You know, because I mean, they blow all over. I don't eat that. It's just too sweet. I can't handle that. But boy, Meredith likes that, and Kathy likes it with her coffee au lait. And they drink it all. So who we take it there? I said, is there anything else you'd like to do, Mary? Wait. She said, let's go to the mall. I said, okay. I said, which mall would you like? She picks the mall. She said, I like this one over here. I said, okay, let's go. Why? Because the Disney store's in that mall. Now, what I do is, ladies, you got to understand, men walk the mall. They don't go in no stores. Men don't walk in no, they ain't going to try to go to a store. They just walk to the mall, see? They get to the end of the mall, and then they turn around, except for Jerry Savelle. He go in every store you can find. But, I mean, you know, Lord Jesus. I follow Jerry. Jerry come up with some good stuff. I ain't kidding you, man. But anyway, so we walk in, and Kathy, she goes, they walk in the Disney store. Now, I'm just kind of walking. Mark just, you know, just slow. I'm just looking around, stuff like that. And so Meredith and Kathy go in the store. This is a true story. This is how I got this message. All. So we walk in, and I come walking in, and she says, Mimi, can I have a toy? And Kathy says, go ask your grandfather. So here, man, I come walking in, and they see me. They go, how you doing, Reverend? I said, I'm doing fine. And Meredith goes, grandfather, can I have a toy? And something hit me. And Jesse's able to make all grace abound toward her. I can give her all sufficiency in all things. I said, Meredith, you can have it all. She goes, what? I looked at the lady. I said, how much inventory is in this store? I said, how much money you got in inventory here? She says, manager, well, about $200,000. I said, it's hers. You got it? She goes, ooh, we're going to have a great day today. I said, whatever she takes is hers. And if she wants it all, you can go home early. I done made up my mind. I'm buying that store. El Shaddad. Got it from El Shaddai. Just wanting to be a blame. Ain't bragging. So I said, I told her, go. I said it kind of like Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. Go, you know, to the promised land. Go. They took off. Now, my job is to pay for everything. That's what I do. So now I realized, and then this, though, you got to stand in line just to get to the cash register. Hey, people in there all are crazy. Well, people heard me say that. They said, would you buy the whole store? I said, it's a done deal. I said, if you want something, you better grab it quick. Because I'm telling you.
They're going home for lunch. I done made up my mind. Can you afford that? Yeah. I don't mean that. Yeah. Why? All sufficiency. Always. Enriched. All bountifulness. That's not just spiritual things. That's physical and financial. So I said, just bring me the stuff and I'm going to hold it. So I got four things in my hand that she brought me. What do they call it? A pajama set that you should, you know, with the little characters. I don't know nothing about Frozen and what's the name of that little fish? Dory? Somewhere? I don't know. And whatever it is. Anyway, and some little princess outfits. So four things. So watch this. She comes back. I said, Meredith, you only got four things. This is an 8-year-old. She goes, Grandfather, this is hard. Southwest Believers Convention. He opened the whole world to us. This is hard. And most preachers and most religions cannot understand this. And God is sitting there and said, the whole store is yours. And you're going, but this is hard. Yeah, it's hard. Because, see, you've never got your mind to believe limitless, unlimited. You only got your mind to believe what was expensive. I said, go get it. Go, go. So watch it. I'm standing, and I got these four things. I'm about from here. There's a lady behind me about from here. That you heard me, maybe you've heard say this story. And she had two children. She's right behind me. One was 5. The other was about 7. And children notice when you got more than one toy. Or one. And the 7-year-old says, he's got a lot of stuff. And I turned around. I said, do you like these things? And it hit me again. I said, well, why don't you go get it? Get all you can get your hands on. Because I figured this, out of all the stuff in there, she's only got four. She ain't going to be able to take the store. But her grandfather is able to give it the store. See, what are you willing to receive? Because now you're going to get persecuted, but Percy ain't cute no more, so it don't make no difference what he said. She goes like, and the mother goes, oh, no, sir. We can't let you do that. We don't take charity. Now, I can understand the lady. I mean, you don't want your kids talking to somebody you don't know, but I'm this far from her. You know, because you got to watch some crazy people in the world. I said, ma'am, if you don't mind, I said, I'll buy everything they can put their hands on. She said, I just can't let you do that. I just can't let you do that. And the 7-year-old said, mama, the man's trying to bless us. The child understands, but the adult doesn't.
All right.
The child understands the power an adult has, but the adult doesn't understand the power God has.
Yeah.
And the adult ought to be smarter than the kid. Beware when you lose your childlikeness. Because children don't complicate faith.
That's right.
They just believe.
Right.
Now, I wish I could give you a good report, but the mother wouldn't let me do it. Here comes Meredith. She goes, why, Grandfather? I said, they don't know how to receive, Meredith. I said, Meredith, you only got four things. She goes, Grandfather, this is hard. Can we come back later? At some other time? I said, yeah. I said, remember, the store is here even when you're sleeping. And when you're sleeping, Grandfather's up, watching over you. See, this is hard. That's why we're criticized, because we believe in prosperity. Because, you see, we caught a glimpse of what all means, always. So you could say it like this. He was so sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. He was so bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose, prayed, perceived, and power. So let him give, not grudging, nor of necessity. For God loveth the cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever, and he which ministered seed to the sower, ministers bread for your food, multiplies your seed, sown, increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in all bountifulness, which causes you to thank God. You see, if it's not in you, it just can't come out of you. You don't say this when you believe for all. Let me get my Bible out. See, what does it say? Now, you better know what it says. She's still fit. I asked her that the other day. I said, you know that's still running. She said, this is hard. And then Kathy told me, she asked, she said, where does he get his money? Where does he put it at? She's starting to understand money. She bought me something for Father's Day. You know what she said? Jody said, well, you going to get your grandfather something? She said, yeah, he likes gold. She's right. And it's up today, $10.50. So we're doing good. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? All, always, all sufficient, all things abound. Now, a believer's convention ought to understand that. Maybe we need to change it to the knowing convention. Because Paul said, I know. In whom? I have believed. We got to get past believing and start knowing. Knowing convention. One thing I know about Kenneth and Gloria, if you ever preach with them in any way, they want to take care of you so much. I mean, it's just such a blessing. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what those two people have done and what they will do. Yeah. Same thing with Jerry and Carolyn. Same thing with me and Kat. Same thing with Keith and Phil. I mean, when you get around it, we always argue who's going to pay the bill. Went yesterday to Cheesecake Factory to eat a little lunch. And man, Keith was on the, he was on the outside right there because he's the last one to sit down. And I wanted to get a Factory House chop salad, but I didn't. I said, Kat, you want to split something? Because I don't like to eat a lot before I preach because you burp, you know. People think it's the Holy Ghost. No, it isn't. It's onions. It's onions. It's little onions, you know. You know, I didn't want to do that. And all of a sudden, I see Phyllis doing something. And she just takes a little sauce. I don't know what she's doing. I turn around. I go, what? She said, this is for you. She gave me a portion of her Factory House chop salad. Now, people said, well, that's nothing. It is to God. It really blessed me. Thank you, Phyllis. Bless me. Didn't have to. And then they paid the bill. I said, no. You ought to hear me and Jerry Seville. We go around on them bills. Boy. People think we have mad. No, Jerry, you ain't doing this. Tell you so. I said, I'm taller than you. He says, I'm skinnier than you. Okay, you got me there. That's for sure. He sure is. Glory to God. But we have such fun. Jerry and Kelly took us to a restaurant, I closed with it, called Book of the Pepper. I thought it was tongues when they said, listen, you want to go to Book of the Pepper? I closed my eyes. I was waiting for interpretation. Book of the Pepper. I said, the Lord's in an Italian mood this morning. He said, oh, Book of the Pepper. And that was in Hawaii. You wouldn't believe. Am I telling Cat? Jerry began to order food. You'd have thought there'd have been 5,000 people going to eat all this stuff. I mean, I ain't never seen that much food in my life. I said, Jerry, we can't eat all this. You think he bothered him? No, just eat what you want, man. Come on. Unlimited. So my advice to you today is get out of the hard stage. And if somebody criticizes you, just say, well, I understand you don't understand. Because it's hard. But when you go, see, when you get to heaven, you're going to have to learn it there. What some of y'all going to do when you're going to step on gold streets? No, Jesus, this ain't right. He's going to say, well, go to hell. You can't handle how we live here, then you go down there where there's gravel and asphalt. Don't shout me down, preaching good. What you going to do when he bring you to a mansion? Jesus, you got a trailer. Ain't nothing wrong with a trailer, but there ain't no mansion trailers. In my Father's house or what? And Jesus even said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. One more thing, then we'll receive the offering and Jerry's coming. We see, when you give, one of the greatest things is the story of Jesus walking up and he says, boys, let down your net for a catch. Well, naturally, intellect gets involved. Especially when you know how to fish. But you see, Peter's limited to only the fish in the Sea of Galilee. He said, we've tauled all night. We're tired. And we've taken nothing. We got proof. But nevertheless, at thy word, thank God, Jesus had a word. I'm going to let that down. Now, it began to fill the boats, right? Till their net began to break.
Watch this. And they called the other partners in the other boat, and their boat filled up, and that's beginning to break. Wait a minute. Wait, you missed the point. See, the other partners didn't have anything to do with the catching of this fish. They just happened to be around Peter. Do you understand when you give the Kenneth Copeland ministry, that anointing that's on them come on you? And I can prove that right there. Those guys weren't even, they were cleaning that. And they got their share. And they never let down the net. Because Peter already done that. Now, what do you think the fish was thinking? How did he know where we was? I don't doubt the fish said, let's follow him. He'll take us to another ocean. The little fishes. Think about that. The ones that did not even put the net, they just come up there with their boat and just got a boatload sinking. Bless it. And they didn't do any work. So can I say it without sounding arrogant? You get around Jesse the Planet, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth and Gloria Cope, Jerry and Carolyn Savelle, Keith and Phyllis Moore. I'm telling you one thing. And Bill Winston and his wonderful wife. I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't care if you're on the shore. You're going to get blessed. It's on us. Don't get mad at us. It ain't our fault. It's just on us. Now I don't even let the net down. I tell you, fish, jump. They jumping in the boat. If you don't think I'm serious, Chase Bank believes it. Chase Bank believe in me. They didn't years ago, but they do now. They even asked me about gold. They said, if God tell you something about gold, would you let us know? That's a vice president of a bank. I like that. Not because of me. It's giving glory to God. It's okay to brag. You know, you can tell people God healed and God saved you, but if you tell people God made you rich, they get mad. Well, you're giving glory to the same God that healed, the same God that saved. Why can't you give glory to the same God that blessed you? Give the Lord a hand clap. I'm finished. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you enjoy that today? Purpose, prayer, perception, power.